Hour number one of KSCO presents Dr. and Mrs. Future. Stay tuned.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Ladies and gentlemen, KSCO presents the Dr. Future Show. If you would like to join in our show today, you can call us at 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. And now, your host, Dr. Future.
Good afternoon, everyone. Beautiful Tuesday, Future Tuesday here in Santa Cruz. And welcome, Mrs. Future.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Nice to be here with you.
And you say it's been a grand week for us, the first week of the new year.
It was such a beautiful holiday season. We really had such wonderful connections with dear friends and really optimistic gatherings and people feeling cautiously optimistic about the future.
Yeah, the worse things get, the better it seems to get for us. Figure that out.
The closer you are to the middle, the less you have to worry about. Let's put it that way.
Or something like that. I feel very blessed about that. Let's just hope it keeps going that way.
Yeah, we're all in this together. And when you have a community like ours, you feel like you have what you need to survive the crazy times that we're in.
Yes. Yeah. I'm going to do a little test here. Hello. Did I go in and out there?
Yes, you did.
Okay, good. Just making sure the cough button works.
You're going to be using that today, huh?
Yeah, I might. I thought there was a 7-second delay on it, which would not be good for
The 7-second delay is over here.
Oh, good.
It's called the dump button.
Yeah, and that works now? Remember, it didn't work for a while.
Yeah, it does work. Oh, you know what? They created a new one.
Really?
That is a big red button that says dump, and it's not even on the board. It's like if I hear some unsavory language that we're not allowed to broadcast.
Yeah.
Boom, I know exactly which button to push. It's the big red button.
The big red button.
Yeah.
It says eject.
That's right. We'll take a dump. So be careful what you say.
Easy.
We're listening.
Yes. It's going to be a good show today. We're going to have Hub X, a second hour. It's a new drop-in center in Santa Cruz that's allow you to learn literacy about all these new media types that are coming out now, like virtual and augmented reality. Mm-hmm. Not just a concept you hear on Dr. Future, but something you can actually play with.
Yeah, if you're the kind of person that just can't wait to learn about augmented reality and how to program games and how to work with the beginnings of AI, there's a
place downtown
group
where you can do this.
Right, interested people.
The old Nickelodeon, right near there.
Yeah. Down the street.
So we'll be talking about that in the second hour.
Hub X.
Yes. Yes. And meanwhile, we've got lots of news for you as this new year progresses. One I thought was kind of interesting was that Facebook is going to try to ban deep fakes.
What? I thought Facebook was in the business of promoting deep fakes.
Well, they're famous
for
fake news, right?
Rich on deep fakes.
Yes. Well, they're in the news in a couple of articles this news cycle.
Uh-huh.
The deep fakes are computer generated clips that are designed to look real.
Right. Like and people probably have seen them in music videos originally where you had different rappers sticking their heads on different dancing bodies. And there was a really famous deep fake with Donald Trump in the wrestling arena. Right?
Well, those were kind of fake, obviously.
Those were obvious fakes. Yeah. Those weren't deep enough. Huh?
There's a really deep one we have in our links page of President Nixon giving the speech for Apollo 11 if they hadn't succeeded.
Oh,
if they
right.
hadn't landed on the moon safely.
Right.
And it sounds like him, it looks like him, and it seems like a real speech about how they crashed.
Good evening, my fellow Americans. Fate has ordained that the men who went to the moon to explore in peace will stay on the moon to rest in peace. For every human being who looks up at the moon in the nights to come will know that there is some corner of another world that is forever mankind. Good night.
Yes, deep fakes are becoming more and more easy to do and more real and more photorealistic and harder to tell the difference between that and a real video clip.
So if you're seeing it on a screen, just be sure and question reality. Don't accept it at face value.
So social media company Facebook says that these videos distort reality and present, quote, a significant challenge, close quote, for the technology industry. They're still relatively uncommon, but they're becoming more and more prevalent. The software creates people, usually people of interest like politicians or celebrities. And it does that by merging or replacing or superimposing the content onto a video in a way that makes it look real. Mm-hmm. So how will they deal with this? Well, Facebook said they'd remove them if they realize they've been edited in ways that weren't obvious to an average person, or if they misled a viewer into thinking that a person in the video said words that they didn't actually say.
Oh, I see. You're not allowed to put words in someone else's mouth. Who knew that that wasn't allowed?
Yeah, it's another form of misleading you. Video editing is another way, and video editing can just take sound bites out of people and recontextualize them. They do that all the time.
Oh, yeah, there's a whole bunch of people who get all their news that way.
Yeah, re-edited.
They want just the clips that reinforce their personal point of view.
Yeah. So media manipulation is not exactly a new topic, and there's just new ways of manipulating it. Mm. So to actually make something look real.
I wonder if more people who are listening to information on the internet can be swayed from their opinions than in the past, or if people are more rigid and they just filter for things that fit their rigid points of view.
It depends on whether or not you consider yourself an open person or not.
Mm-hmm.
Gregory just came up. He said, I came up with the term shallow fake.
Shallow fake.
Hey. As opposed to a deep fake.
It doesn't take much, huh?
Shallow fake. Most of them are shallow fakes, Greg.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you came up with the term. Oh, okay. That's right, because there's a lot of apps on social media that make you look like a character, like Gregory sent a raccoon picture of himself. Talking.
Sure. Yeah, these be your own avatar apps, you could call that shallow fakes.
Easily detectable are shallow fakes.
Yeah.
And they maybe make you laugh even.
Yes.
To the best kinds. Right?
Which Facebook is not going to filter out for the ones that make you laugh. If it's satirical or a farce, they intend to let it stand.
That's right. That's right. The satirical elements are alive and well, which is good. We should have some humor about all this.
I don't know. A lot of people don't seem to have a sense of humor, and that's maybe the problem. you can't tell the difference between a joke and a non-joke.
Yeah, and what about other doctored videos? Like they point out, for example, remember that doctored video of Speaker Pelosi,
mm-hmm.
where it sounded like she was slurring her words, like she was drunk.
Right,
and it was just slowing down the video a little bit. It wasn't I guess that might be a shallow fake.
Yes. Well, that's a distortion. I don't know if it's a fake. It's a distortion because the actual video was real. It was just played at the wrong speed.
Yeah. Okay.
Your conclusions are fake.
Yes. So the Facebook, they're trying to say that only videos generated by AI to depict people saying fictional things will be taken down.
Oh, brother. This is such a non-solution. Okay, we're going to filter out all the things that AIs make that AIs can recognize. Those are the only deep fakes we're going to filter out. We're not going to filter out people who are lying. We're not going to filter out people who are editing to their heart's content something that's completely fictional. We're only catering to the AIs and the AIs that are being trained to take the information and make it fake. Those are the ones we're going to filter out. Well, I guess you got to start somewhere.
Yeah, malicious edits is another term when it's cut so that it's mean. Malicious edits.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's go to some of our commercials and we'll go back to some more news after the break.
Okay.
See you in a moment.
Dr. and Mrs. Future for you on Future Tuesday on KSEO.
I guess no trust word I need it.
Okay, welcome back to the show. Also in the Facebook world, there is a very interesting piece in The Guardian this week about how there is a fresh Cambridge Analytica leak that shows you how global manipulation is just out of control. Explosive leak of tens of thousands of documents from the now defunct firm Cambridge Analytica, set to expose the inner workings of the company. It collapsed after The Observer revealed it had misappropriated 87 million Facebook profiles.
$87 million, and nobody went to jail. The company just closed its doors. The executives got hired by new Cambridge Analytica lookalikes, disappeared into the background, and they're just at it again.
And it's not just our country. 100,000 documents related to work in 68 countries, laying bare the global infrastructure and operation used to manipulate voters on an industrial scale. Set to be released over the next few months now.
I guess it's really a testimonial to the power of the useful idiot that we don't want to deny that the average person is important. We just want to mislead them so that the average person's unimportance can be corralled into a manipulated result.
The release of the documents began this New Year's Day on an anonymous Twitter account, Hindsight Files, with links to materials on elections going on in Malaysia, in Kenya, in Brazil. Hey, what about Venezuela?
So 2020 hindsight, huh? And was that all information from a trusted source?
From Brittany Kaiser, an ex-Cambridge Analytica employee. She's featured in the film
The Great Hack.
The Great Hack on Netflix. Mm-hmm. Very worthwhile seeing.
Really highly recommend The Great Hack if you want to understand the danger to our democracy and the pervasiveness of Cambridge Analytica-type fakes and people manipulating the average non-gullible recipient of data.
She says, quote, "I'm very fearful about what's going to happen in the U.S. election later this year, and I think one of the few ways of protecting ourselves is to get as much info out there as possible now."
Sure. Yeah. What's the cure for violation of privacy? More transparency.
Yeah. Thousands and thousands of pages. I can just look forward to reading that, huh?
Well, how much can you read?
Cambridge. I don't know. How much do you really need to know? You need to know people who do read it that you trust.
Perhaps. Well, you have to know that there are people getting paid lots and lots of money to manipulate through the media. And if you're wondering why the media seems so lacking in human empathy and so lacking in a fair representation of who we are, look at who's getting paid. These people are deep manipulators, cynical players.
Well, here's the thing.
Non-human advocates.
Well, here's the thing, is that those people, those cynical players, aren't just in any one particular arena, but they are people in governments, in intelligence agencies, in commercial companies, political campaigns, all there to manipulate and influence people from their points of view.
It's the control industry. Those who would control others rather than trust in the freedom and goodwill of the individual.
Yeah, all over the world. What do you believe?
Let's all vote for someone to control us.
Yeah.
Right? That's what they want. Vote for this controller. Don't vote for that controller.
Yes, well, we're at a tipping point. We're balanced between truth and lies. You know, hope and civility, hate and nastiness, and goodwill.
So a feather's weight of difference, which you and I can make with our very actions, words, and beliefs, can tip the scales in the direction of the future we want to be a part of.
That's right. That's right. We got to be as aware as we can, given what we have available to us, and recognize the source of what we're reading, where's it coming from, and who we got it from.
And if we don't like what it says, vote against it.
Well, the unpublished documents that are being released, they have material that suggests Cambridge Analytica was working for a political party in the Ukraine in 2017, even while Mueller's inquiry was going on. And that the firm helped develop a sophisticated infrastructure of shell companies that were designed to funnel dark money into politics.
Yeah. I remember when Kavanaugh was being questioned, and I believe it was Representative Senator Whitehouse. Was that his name? Whitehouse, I think. And he was questioning Kavanaugh about the untraceable sources of the funding that he was given to both make him a shortlist candidate for the Supreme Court, and the fact that we couldn't understand who was represented behind him as he went through the process. So there was definitely an attempt to show Congress that levers are being pulled behind closed doors and we are intentionally being shut out of the transparency process.
You know what would be interesting? I just had this thought. What if you carefully monitor the propaganda being pushed to the people in the swing states and look at what they're being sent? And that would probably reveal a little bit about what's fake news by the way that it's being slanted there as opposed to here.
That's interesting. So let's imagine that there's one fake news ad per 100 people in the swing states, and it's micro-targeted to be their issue. You know, the people who want to protect farmers, say, or the people who want to be afraid of either law enforcement or prejudice against minorities or whatever the issue is. If you could just array all of the micro-targeted ads and compare them to each other,
yeah,
you'd see a map of vulnerabilities.
Yeah, some people might be willing to do that. Yeah, that'd be a funny little exercise. Mm. It's a different world with this kind of information out there. Yes, Greg suggests we vote for the controller that we control.
Okay. Well,
beginning outer limits.
If we can only tell which controller that is.
Yeah, which one do we control?
How do we recognize our controller? Which one is on our side?
Yes. Thanks for mentioning CES 2020 is going on for sure, but there's a lot going on there, and we do have some coverage for that, especially in the next half an hour after our next news break. But before that, we have a little bit of space news I think I can fit in our final 5 minutes.
I believe you have space for space news. Let's do it.
Don't you think? Yeah.
Let's go there.
Space news.
Go to space.
Okay. Well, Tess is up there.
Tess.
Remember Tess?
I do. She's looking for Goldilocks zone planets.
This is a NASA satellite called Transiting Exoplanet Survey Satellite, TESS. And they've discovered, or she has discovered, a Earth-sized planet in the habitable zone of its host star. That's about 101.5 light years from Earth. It's known as TOI 700D, a candidate for observation. See, that's what they're looking for. They're looking for planets in the Goldilocks zone and zones that could support life where liquid water exists.
Right.
And this is big because this is the first Earth-like planet that Tess has found, suggesting she was worth the budget that we paid for.
Right. She found one, and it's only 100 light years away.
Yeah, now we just have to figure out how to travel faster than light to get there.
How long is it going to take us to civilize a planet that's 100 light years away?
Oh, 10,000 years to get there.
With a probe.
Yeah, with existing technologies.
Yeah, that's just with a little probe.
Yeah, get there at the speed of light would be 100 years to get there.
Right.
So 101, and then you have to consider the time dilation effect.
So I'm thinking 100,000 years, we should be able to land on the planet, maybe camp there.
We need a breakthrough in being able to travel through the universe at a decent speed here. Even the speed of light is slow.
Oh, faster than light. Are you being a little new agey there? Are you
No. It's science. It's been something that people have thought about for a long time, and nobody's come up with a breakthrough yet. And that's the problem, is that the speed of light is a real barrier
to the molecules. However, the speed of thought exists for people who want to go there in a simulated VR world.
That's true. It could be that we travel to other planets by training our brains to travel using thought faster than the speed of light.
Sure.
And VR could be a training tool for that.
So in 100,000 years, we could send a bunch of avatars to a planet in the Goldilocks zone, and then we could remote control the avatars from here, and there'd only be a 100 light year delay in latency.
Well, that's too much for me. Couldn't handle that unless I was an AI. Maybe I'd have an infinite patience that way.
So we want things to go faster in the future, huh? They're not going fast enough for you?
No, not even close. So this TOI, this is the TESS object of interest. That's what that stands for. 700D is the outermost planet in this star system. It's an intriguing one. It's just 20% larger than Earth. It completes one orbit every 37 days.
Ooh, that's
moving fast. An orbit 37-day year.
Mm-hmm.
This alien world gets 86% of the stellar energy that Earth gets, which is pretty good, pretty close to what we have. It puts it in the habitable zone, and it's got three planets closer in. They look like they're tidally locked, kind of like the way the moon is to the Earth, with one side always facing.
Hmm.
Tidal locking doesn't necessarily preclude the possibility of life, the astronomers say, which is good news that they could have it. And also that they don't have a lot of solar flares, which is really important. If you have a lot of solar flaring, you could constantly muck up the atmospheres on your planets.
Mm-hmm.
And that would not be good for life. Life needs a consistent, nice temperature.
I see. So they're making the case that this particular planet in this particular Goldilocks zone is a candidate for a future mission.
Candidate for a Earth-type.
To send some exploration
for vessels. Life as biological life
Let's
as we know
send
it.
Send a Starship Enterprise out there with a settlement colony.
Yeah, 100 million. Yeah, if it was the Star Trek universe, it would be very interesting to us. Yes, it would. Yes. Oh, yes. Before we go to the news break, wanted to mention that there's new evidence to show that Venus, our sister planet right nearby, has active volcanoes.
Breaking news.
That's right. We thought it was kind of dead, but no, it's volcanically active.
All right.
And Mars, too. We had evidence that there was volcanism on Mars as well. So Venus and Mars both seem to be volcanically active.
The headlines really crack me up that breaking news. Proof that there's volcanoes on Venus.
Well, that they're alive.
We didn't see the eruption, but we did crack the science that shows us that some of the lava flows we studied only happened recently.
That's right. That's right. They're new lava flows.
New lava flows. Well, that and more breaking news after this break on the
Doctor. Some CES download coming up. Consumer Electronics Show is happening now. Okay, welcome back to the show. Yes, Consumer Electronics Show is going on right now in Las Vegas. 170,000 people attending that event. And it's all about the latest and greatest in gadgets and technology of all kinds. Automobiles.
Consumer Electronics Show.
Right, right. Mercedes, for example, had a very interesting prototype car that looks like it's right out of the movie Avatar. It even has scales on it, you know, like it's some kind of creature.
Yeah, do you have to hook into it by attaching your tail to an input device?
No, you get on board by throwing a grappling hook at it. No, I don't know. It stops when you call it up on the app.
You have to capture it before it escapes and then befriend it for life.
Yes, and then it comes for you after you show you that.
Once you prove your worthiness.
Yeah, you're worthy to ride in such a beast. One of the bigger things there, Toyota has declared that they want to build their own city.
Really?
The Toyota. They call it the Woven City.
The Woven City, not the Toy City.
The Woven.
Like
they're really into the connectedness, networking, group mind kind of thing.
Wow. Okay.
Yes.
So.
And they'll provide a living lab for about 2,000 people.
Hmm.
I guess Epcot was the American version of that back when Disney was alive.
Right.
Got the idea of a future city.
Future city for 2,000 people. Okay.
Yeah. The Woven City. They're working with a Danish architect, Blark Engels. And they plan to actually break ground on this city in 2021.
Wow. Where is it going to be?
Well, it's a good question. They haven't decided fully yet, but they did announce it yesterday. And outlined a vision where they'll have traditional woodworkers meeting modern photovoltaic roofs and AI-powered robots and basically a city of the future.
Hmm.
Willy Wonka special.
Wow.
So they're serious about it. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
All right. So yeah. Toyota.
Yeah.
Putting a vote in for a future colony.
Yes. And one of the big things in television, besides 8K, a new resolution from 4K to 8K on televisions, is frameless. People are going towards no frames around their television.
Hmm.
You know, the little border around it, around your TV. The frame.
I see.
It's getting smaller and smaller to where it practically doesn't exist. I'm waiting for when the screens themselves are transparent and you turn them off and you can see through it. That hasn't happened yet.
Uh-huh.
But you can get an 8K TV and they're coming down in price. They're still expensive. There's hardly any content for 8K.
Mm-hmm.
But Samsung has been busy building 8K TVs.
Right.
It's the best picture quality. It looks pretty darn good. Check it out. If you like sound bars, like we have in our bedroom, you know, little sound bars for good quality on your TV. They have rotating sound bars this year.
Sound bars.
Rotating sound bars.
I see. So you hang them under your fan.
Spin it. yes. It fires up in speed, and it gives you great Dolby Atmos or DDSX sound. When you spin it, it fires it at you, and the music is playing. It's supposed to be pretty cool.
So it's a horizontal fan? It's spinning. It's pointed at you like a fan that might be cooling you with air?
Well, it's not a fan. It's more the device itself.
What's spinning?
The sound bar.
The sound bar. So yeah, it's mounted on a pole and it's going around like the blades of a fan.
I think you got hit by your sound bar accidentally. It'd be really bad. Your pet gets injured by it. But anyway, it's...
Well, I'm thinking of those things they had at the Exploratorium a while ago where they had a light fiber that was rotated around like a wheel and it created a pattern as it rotated and it showed you a picture. So I'm thinking that maybe they're doing something like that with sound, where because it's rotating in a circle, they can create a unique sound pattern that gives you a higher fidelity or something.
I don't know.
Was there a picture of it?
No, they're just talking about it.
Okay. Well, I guess we'd have to go to CES to get the details.
That's right.
This is futuristic concepts and sound.
Virtual visor. Yes, Bosch has a virtual visor. More and more companies are entering into the virtual world. Mm-hmm. Looks like Bosch is the latest player on that world. So that's pretty cool. One of the things that I really liked was the e-ink facial makeup.
Oh.
You know, it's a little gadget. I think women would like
this particular. For those of us who are trying to cover up some of those unsightly blemishes.
Yes, and instead of using what they call a foundation, when you're blushing your face, you're covering up this pimple or that thing.
Traditionally, the foundation powder has to go over all over your whole face.
Yeah, this is a little scanner that goes over your face and then notices where all the blemishes are and then uses e-ink to fill them in or to recolor them. And they say it uses like 95%.
It's like a Photoshop corrector.
Your face. Yeah, Photoshop for your face.
Here.
It apparently does a better job than normal makeup, and it takes 95% less materials to do it right.
Oh boy. But I bet the machine is way more expensive. So the fact that it's cheaper to use.
I think it was like.
That's like the razor and the blade.
I think it was like $599.
For the device.
Yeah, for the device, right.
And then you've got to get your blemish powder.
Well, that's the ink packs. Literally put your face on in the morning. Just scan your face. Print your face on. Oh, man, what's this world coming to?
Yeah. It changes the idea of lying in bed after your alarm, right? Your alarm goes off, and then all of a sudden, your little auto face designer pops into action and starts getting you ready for your day.
Wait, don't do it. I didn't take my shower yet. There's got to be a face-off machine, too.
Face-off.
Right, where it cleans.
That's right.
It takes
when you
off
go to bed at night, just turn on your face-off.
Your face-on and your face-off machine.
This is right out of the Jetsons.
Well, actually, Sylvester McMonkey McBean.
Oh.
And his star on and star off machine from Dr. Zeus.
Oh.
Yeah.
I see. One of those instances where Dr. Zeus inspired a future invention.
I think so, yeah. He was there. He was there for this kind of thinking. So walls of OLED screens, that's another big thing. OLED is the new organic LED technologies, and it looks super real, really good blacks, so they're super large screens. Large screens are always a popular crowd pleaser.
Mm-hmm. And OLEDs are good because the blacks are darker, the screen stays cooler, it doesn't take as much power.
All that good stuff, yeah, it's thinner. And this year, Unagi is debuting personalized scooters. You pick up your own colors and patterns for your handlebar and your deck and your shaft. And they'll be pre-3D printed in a durable clear coat wrapped around the metal. So you can have limited edition prints on your scooter, making it truly yours.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, should be a stunner.
Your bike.
Those are about $1,000. Mm-hmm. Have your tattooed scooter for just the way that you like it.
Okay.
Yeah. Then Keurig, you know, Keurig, the drink machine company.
The single service coffee drink thing.
Yeah, they're branching out. They now have a new home bar, and it's dubbed the Drink Maker. And it's available in a handful of states in the country right now. It works similarly to coffee makers, but with more features than just brewing a cup of coffee. A Drink Maker can carbonate.
There's a new drink, carbonated coffee.
It uses CO2 cartridges. And it can chill. It can take your drinks down to 35 degrees Fahrenheit. Mm-hmm. And it can quickly churn out different types of cocktails and beers and ciders.
Oh.
In the machine.
Oh, boy. So Keurig is getting into the beverage industry in a whole new way.
That's right. That's right. And they use something they call DrinkWorks Pods, where they scan a barcode on a pod to determine the exact amount of water that you need, and they react to that same with carbonation, and the chill that you need for the drink. So you can order up like your Moscow Mule, and you make it the way you like it. Stiff, bite of lime and ginger if you like, you know, not too sweet. So just favorite drinks. Options are include sangria, mojitos, lawnmower beers, whatever those are, lawnmower beers, and limoncello-inspired bubbly lemon cocktails.
Wow. I guess Keurig wants to be the robot of bartenders.
Yes. That's right. Drink Maker, $2.99 at Amazon or Best Buy. Mm. Yeah, coming right up. There's a dancing cat robot.
If your coffee maker doesn't like you, maybe your dancing cat robot will.
Yes, a dancing cat robot.
Because that's more of a pet. But cats, no. If it's truly a cat, it will not like anybody. You know?
Well, the dancing cat shows you the possibilities of little computers like Raspberry Pis. And it's a little cat that's powered by an Arduino chip called 86duino. And it leaves you like a little cute little robot. Shows you what's possible through your programming.
Do you want one? Does it seem like an ideal pet to you?
Well, I'm more into creating toys for pets myself. You know, it's like I like the
so
little...
So you don't want a toy pet. You want a toy for a pet.
Yeah, I like the little mini Sphero balls that roll around that you can control with your phone.
Mm-hmm.
Those are really, really cool.
Right.
And those allow you to get the pet to do fun things, like pounce at it or try to figure out how to catch it. You can play chase games with your cat, mm-hmm. your dog. And if they're young, they love it.
Uh-huh.
They're old. They say, balls don't move by themselves. Are you crazy?
Yeah. I would compare it to a laser beam. You know, a little red laser?
Oh, little lasers. Yeah, well, kind of, except the balls they can actually catch,
mm-hmm.
right? Well, laser beams are that they're...
they're stuck. All they can do is chase them. They can never catch them.
You're right. It's not real. Oh, yes, of course, laptops with 5G are coming out. And transportation, you know, the Segway stuff.
Sure, the Segway
Greg, you
scooters.
Have a Segway. You know about those things. Would you want to get this new thing called the hover chair?
For those too lazy to stand on their Segway.
Yeah, you get tired of standing on a Segway. It gets tired after
a while. You can
sit down. Uh-huh. This is more like that of Wall-E. Remember those chairs in Wall-E?
Great.
You can drink your shake. And,
yeah, does it come with a straw and a place to put your shake?
Yeah, drink holder. Yeah. Yeah, I think it does. You sit down, toggle a knob, and off you go. Probably can put in your locations that you want to go to. Yeah, so that's the new Segway hover chair coming out. So just a few ideas coming out of our friends at Consumer Electronics Show this week in Las Vegas. We'll be back after the break. All right, welcome back to the Dr. and Mrs. Future Show. I got a request for more information on the inkjet beauty wand we mentioned. It's called the Opti Beauty Wand, O-P-T-E, and it uses ink in a handheld inkjet printer. It uses 120 inkjet nozzles that disperses skin-friendly solution in minuscule amounts down to the picoliter, giving you a smooth coverage so you can camouflage your blemishes. 97% less material as opposed to doing makeup manually. Opti Beauty Wand, $5.99.
Are you wanting me to go get one?
No, I'm just, you know, I was thinking, is that a good gift?
I mean, for me?
Somebody wonder about you if you gave them a gift like that?
Yeah, I think they would.
They would, huh?
What are you trying to tell me there, Al?
nothing. Oh, I'm sorry.
Do I look blemished to you?
That's expensive for a big mistake. Oh, man. Well, how about this? This is possibly more useful to most. It's a new kind of food. The Impossible Foods folks, remember them? They created the Impossible Burger.
Sure.
For Burger King and such like that.
Right.
Will it pop pimples? No. I don't think so, Greg. Doesn't pop pimples. No.
It covers them up.
Covers them up,
with
right.
With e-ink.
Maybe it could make them look like volcanoes, and you know, you can have some art on your face.
Smooth out your craters.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you can do some artwork rather than just cover things up.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Get some e-ink that can do temporary tattoos.
Yes, put up your favorite pictures, right. You know, from your camera roll.
A little makeup for Halloween.
Yeah. Okay, so Impossible Foods has come up with a pig-free pork.
Oh, well, shouldn't that be called something besides pork?
Pig-free pork?
Yes.
Well, the whole idea is that we're creating meats that aren't meats, meatless meat.
Right.
And that taste like meat, look like meat, grill like meat, but aren't meat, that are plant-based.
Right. Spam has already been used.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's true. It has.
Let's see. How about fork? No, fake pork. That's already been
Keep
used.
Keep working on it. Traditional meat production is a ridiculous technology for food, says CEO Pat Brown of Impossible Foods at his press conference at CES. And he punctuated the air with his hand as he answered reporters' questions about his breaking point that led to pursuing plant-based meat. Traditional meat, he said, contributes significantly to the two biggest threats humanity has ever faced, which is catastrophic climate change and a catastrophic meltdown in biodiversity.
Oh, well. Yeah. So is he refreezing biodiversity?
He thinks it's the most important task in the world to spark new food options. Like, even though I guess Impossible Pork isn't exactly a new taste for food, it's trying to replicate an existing taste. Hmm. Pork, but it's gluten-free, and it's designed to be kosher and halal certified, and it looks strikingly similar to real pork, and with that light pink hue and tender, juicy texture. But given the fact that he was Jewish and he's never eaten pig meat due to religious reasons,
we can't necessarily trust his taste buds telling us if it tastes like pork.
Personally speak to how similar the flavor is himself, but colleagues say
well,
it tastes
well, you know, smell is 90% of taste. I mean, I'm sure he smelled bacon.
Yeah, smell's big important part of this. That's true. It's a growing list of plant-based meat products that are looking to decrease the need for animals as a food source. Mm. It's driven by a cultural desire to reduce environmental impact and
cruelty,
less cruelty to murdering millions of animals every year. Or health benefits such as lower cholesterol and fat, they make it healthy. Ideally, you want food that's healthy for you. Mm. And so you can work with issues like, unless I guess the cholesterol and fat really affect the taste. Because it's a real challenge to get something that's healthier and tastes the same.
Well, taste and smell are both from the molecules, so it's probably possible to do good fakes now that we've mastered the art of the molecule.
Yeah, fake and bacon, right. Those are early tests. Pigs are the most popular source of meat globally, especially in Asia. Internationally, it's a clear number one. So, yeah, Impossible Foods really thinks this is going to be a big one for them. If they can get pork right, they've got the planet.
We tried some vegan sausage at a birthday party recently, and it was darn good, I have to say.
Yeah, they're getting pretty good at it. Bacon is on their list. They want to see if they can get bacon right. That's a hard one. I've noticed that a lot of the breakfast sandwiches you get in the coffee shops try to do bacon, and sometimes it doesn't seem like...
Bacon seems like cardboard. It comes out kind of weird.
But they say they're not going to release a bacon product, and they feel like they really can get somebody who's a hardcore bacon worshiper to agree that it's good. Hmm. And that's probably going to take a while. Hmm. But it's an important one because bacon is considered practically a currency in our country. You know, it tastes like bacon.
Yeah, isn't it one of the key economic indicators? Yeah, pork bellies.
People trade almost anything for it. You know, so, Impossible Foods have been criticized for being so highly processed in their
meat. Caller.
Okay, just about done here. Okay. Impossible Pork, they're trying to make it healthier. As I mentioned earlier, they're trying to put vitamins in it. Hey, maybe Doc Wallach could team up with them.
The Mighty 90 Possible Pork Burger.
Yeah. Yeah, it's still
tastes
legal.
Like tastes like tangerine.
Amino acid, sugars, heme. Heme is what makes it taste like meat.
Right. You know, it's that
flavor aroma.
Right, like hemoglobin.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So we got a caller, you say?
We do. David in Scotts Valley with a correction. Hi, David.
Hey, David.
Hi. Not so much a correction. I might have misunderstood what you said, but there's no real hard, compelling evidence that, in fact, these meat substitutes are less unhealthy than meat. Undoubtedly, what the guy, Mr. Impossible, says about environmental degradation from large-scale industrial meat production, that stuff is all true.
Yeah. Mm.
But
yeah, I don't think we're making any health claims. I think we're just saying that they're not made from animals.
All right. Well, that's good. And I do have to chime in sort of unfortunately against the products, because I've tried a number of them. And as a lifetime meat consumer, none of them even remotely resemble meat. I mean, I've tried them each one a couple times to try to be objective and not be biased by the fact that I like meat.
Yeah, I suppose if you have enough mustard and relish on it, you can't tell if it's good.
Well,
or not.
I think what people like me need to do is, instead of squawking about it, as I just need to adjust to being a vegan, because it's just a more practical lifestyle, or a vegetarian at least.
Well, are you saying you have the omnivore's dilemma? Like, you'd rather eat meat, but you feel like
probably not the best choice
that
for
eating non-meat absolutely. Is a higher option, higher choice.
Absolutely. Just like, you know, there are a lot of aspects of that in humanity. It's easy for us to be violent. We make a choice to be peaceful. It's easy for us to be angry. We make a choice to be reasoned.
Yeah.
So I think it's in that same arena. It's just such a lifelong habit. It's not a very easy thing to do.
Nice. Well, if you weren't substituting non-meat products for meat, is there something else you'd rather eat?
Cheese.
There you go. That's kind of cruelty-free, isn't it?
There's another growing market that has to do with using stem cells for growing meat products.
Oh,
as
there
well.
You go. That'll taste just like meat.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and there.
All right. Well.
Yeah, but in meanwhile, we have these options that are supposedly getting better. There's
so
still
many
in the,
options
still in
to choose from in the future.
Well, yeah, I am inherently suspicious of the one ingredient that I think is a genetically modified form of yeast. I don't know if that's the same as the heme or not.
I think that might be the heme. That sounds like a description of the heme to me.
Yeah, cynic that I am, I preferred not to consume genetically modified organisms.
Okay, well, now we have to add a new criteria. It needs to be non-animal and non-GMO. Now, that's a tall order.
Non-GMO or non-meat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which right, thank you.
Thanks,
okay,
dude.
You bet. Ezra Gollan. Guess what? The National Pork Producers Council released a statement about all this. They challenged Impossible's naming of the new plant-based pork product. Mm-hmm. They called it, quote, a brazen violation of labeling law.
Right. Yeah, everybody, the meat and the milk industry want to own the spelling of meat and milk. And I think we could give it to them. I think we could come up with some new way of spelling pork. Or I like the way that they spell nut milk with M-Y-L-K, milk. So, yeah, we could have a contest. What should we name the new Impossible meats?
Not meat?
Meat.
No.
Meat. Not meat.
Protein. I think we're all calling, what's the protein for the meal, right?
What's
we're
your
all using that term now. Maybe it's
there
like,
you go.
Just call it protein and leave it at that. The Impossible Foods goal is to replace the need for animals in the food chain and bring sustainability to the global food system.
All right. But you got to be careful with that, because human beings are actually good stewards. And when farming has shown that when animals are integrated into our culture in terms of food, pets, et cetera, that they don't go extinct, that we do look out for them. And maybe we could find new ways of looking out for more animals.
Well, or maybe animals more that are pets than necessarily a food source.
Sure. Yeah, it'd be nice if all of us could become more Dr. Doolittle-like and preserve as many diverse animals as possible.
Yeah, like I've heard pigs, for example, are very smart. As smart as dogs, maybe even more so in some ways.
Right.
Train them.
If you don't mind the mess.
Well, they apparently, they don't mess up that. Apparently they...
This is KCO Santa Cruz, Dr. Future Show. We're going to be back right after the break.
They do their duty in a corner of the room.